Okay, here it comes. The episode about the somewhat tricky and sticky topic of influences. Some parents care about them, others may not. What about you? What side of the coin are you on? Or are you somewhere in the middle? In today's first part of a hopefully multi-part series, we are discussing the influence of, drumroll here, ta-da, media. Do we even bother controlling media when it comes to our kids? Does it matter? How do we determine what media is good versus what is bad? And how do we determine media for ourselves as parents and what we watch? Stay tuned, friends, as we delve into a number of topics dealing with what it means to guard our children's souls. This is going to be an interesting convo. Talking about influences in any form can get heated, especially when it comes to media in its many glittering forms. There is just so much stuff out there, and as our children grow up in this digital age, we are left with some tough choices to make. As I've mentioned before in the episode about screen time during this pandemic, Brandon and I have made a very clear choice on where we stand with media at this stage in our parenthood. But I can imagine it's going to be more challenging as our now just over a year and a half old gets older, especially when more time with friends and family starts becoming a thing again. And I'm sure all you parents out there with multiple children of different ages and stages can agree. I'm going to start this episode off by reading a quote from E.G. White's Child Guidance, a compilation filled with guidance on parenting. Child Guidance, Chapter 35, the subtitle, Pure Food for the Mind is Essential. The grace of Christ is the only antidote or preventative of evil. You may choose, if you will, whether the minds of your children shall be occupied with pure, uncorrupted thoughts or with the evils that are existing everywhere, pride and forgetfulness of their Redeemer. The mind, like the body, must have pure food in order to have health and strength. Give your children something to think of that is out of and above themselves. The mind that lives in a pure, holy atmosphere will not become trifling, frivolous, vain, and selfish. We are living in a time when everything that is false and superficial is exalted above the real, the natural, and the enduring. The mind must be kept free from everything that would lead it in a wrong direction. It should not be encumbered with trashy stories, which do not add strength to the mental powers. The thoughts will be of the same character as the food we provide for the mind. When I first read that paragraph about food for the mind, I immediately thought of food for physical benefit. But then I started thinking of what pure food for the mind means and how that plays into the type of media our children consume. Growing up, I consumed a ton of media. Some good, but plenty not so good. And what I mean by not so good is that I saw and read a lot of things at a very young age that I believe contributed to my actions and ways of thinking in my later years. I was enveloped in the words and behaviors of the young adults I was watching on screen or reading about in books or magazines that I wanted to behave like them. In short, I believe my particular struggles with sin were enhanced and encouraged by the things I read, heard, and watched. I think it's important to remember that people may have certain inclinations towards certain sins. And because of these certain inclinations, it's important for me to be mindful of what media I consume, or for Brandon, what media he consumes, or what media we consume together. So it's for ourselves, but also for our children. Even now, sometimes I find myself distracted by things I've watched years ago. Impure things that still manage to make its way into my thoughts. I'm aware of these weaknesses, and I ask God to help me not to dwell on those things. That leads me to read the following. Chapter 19, Purity, page 116. Fill the mind with images of purity. The Christian life is one of constant self-denial and self-control. These are the lessons to be taught the children from their infancy. Teach them that they must practice temperance, purity in thought and heart and act. that they belong to God because they have been bought with a price. If in their tender years the minds of children are filled with pleasant images of truth, of purity and goodness, a taste will be formed for that which is pure and elevated, and their imagination will not become easily corrupted or defiled. I know some parents often say, the more you control your children, the more they will rebel. To some degree, that is absolutely true. There is a balance we as parents have to strike in order to guard our children and lead them in the right direction, while also building them to be self-reliant and to make the right choices for themselves because they have learned throughout their life what is right and pleasing and acceptable to God, and they have chosen that for themselves. I'll quote a few more chapters from Child Guidance in regards to early childhood being the most susceptible age. But before that, I want to ask this question. If our or our children's minds aren't filled with images of purity, what are they filled with? Here's a paragraph from Chapter 36, Advantage of the Early Years from Child Guidance. Early childhood is the most important period. Too much importance cannot be placed on the early training of children. The lessons that the child learns during the first 7 years of life have more to do with forming his character than all that it learns in future years. From babyhood, the character of the child is to be molded and fashioned in accordance with the divine plan. Virtues are to be instilled into his opening mind. The parent's work must begin with the child in its infancy, that it may receive the right impress of character ere the world shall place its stamp on mind and heart. It is during the first years of a child's life that his mind is most susceptible to impressions, either good or evil. During these years, decided progress is made in either a right direction or a wrong one. On one hand, much worthless information may be gained. On the other, much solid, valuable knowledge. That is so interesting. She writes that early childhood is the most susceptible age? It's not surprising. We have dubbed our little toddler girl Émile Éponge because she copies and remembers everything we say or do. By the way, l'éponge means sponge in French. Is it a coincidence then that a lot of media is aimed toward this age group? That parents, generally speaking, can't wait to take their children to see the latest family movie? So, what is a family movie? I've always thought family movie meant it was a movie or show geared for children. But after hearing people in the entertainment world say that that isn't the case, I was surprised. Family movies are meant to be enjoyed by children and adults alike. So, there may be adult content in films or shows that even the youngest of eyes and ears will be witnessing. And I'm sure you don't need me to tell you what kind of adult content makes its way into family media like this. I've admitted this in a previous episode, and I will be the first one to raise my hand here. As I said in the other episode, I pretty much love everything that starts with a capital D and ends in an EY. So this is going to be difficult for me. I myself enjoy consuming this kind of media. I and my husband really have to evaluate how important that this is for us. Are we going to take it seriously? Are we going to really recognize media as the powerful influence that it is, over the influence that it had over me, that it had over Brandon? Like, these are the kinds of questions that fill my head now, because it's no longer just the decisions I'm making for myself. It's the decisions I'm making for myself that is going to help grow the character of our child for the future, for heaven, for the greater picture. The Bible talks about whatsoever things are true and pure and good, to meditate on these things and to dwell on these things. And there's all kinds of other principles in the Bible about what we allow ourselves to take part in as children of God, and what side we're going to choose. Are we going to be children of God and live the certain way that has been laid out in biblical principles? Or are we going to mold and fashion ourselves and our children after what the world values? In chapter 40, she writes, "Parents must say no to temptation. Mothers, by not following the practices of the world, you may set before your children an example of faithfulness to God, and so teach them to say no. Teach your children the meaning of the precept, 'If sinners entice thee, consent thou not.' But if you would have your children able to say no to temptation, you yourself must be able to say no. It is as needful for the man to say no as for the child." Those are some heavy themes there. Tying in the idea of the Christian life being one of constant self-denial, we as God-following parents must say no to things we know to be detrimental to our own Christian character in order to help ourselves and our children grow spiritually. Again in chapter 36, she writes, "Thwart Satan's effort to claim infant children. Parents, you failed generally to begin your work early enough. You let Satan preoccupy the soil of the heart by putting in the first crop of seed. You have a work to do that Satan shall not gain the control of your children and take them away from you before they are out of your arms. Mothers, you should see to it that the powers of darkness do not control your little ones. You should set your will that the enemy shall not raise his banner of darkness in your home." How will we work to guide our children in the God-ordained direction? How important is this work to us? How do we stand for our principles in a world that tells us we're doing it all wrong? These are the types of questions I want to add to the conversation with you, other parents out there. So please, join in. I want to hear how you handle the whole media situation with your family. Thanks again for being here. Stay blessed, and let us all remember to keep our hold on Christ.